Good evening. Hi. Wow. It's good to see you all here. A bit more people than usually on a Wednesday night, so glad you all came out. And that was a good introduction, or just to know that our God, like we heard also on the week, and not become familiar with God. Sometimes we can become familiar because we maybe don't see the miracles happening for a long time. But just to know, to never become familiar with God, that he can do great things. And part of it is also that that spoke to me a bit, like there were so many great messages lately, as Pastor Larry shared. And one part that I was thinking of a lot is the warfare that we are in. And that's a bit my message around that, but not maybe as we usually are used to it. So just let's go in and see what God has. So Father, I just pray that you anoint now these words. Father, we know that you are faithful, and as Pastor Larry said, open our hearts, open our ears. Do not hear from man, but to hear from your spirit, to hear from Christ what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So one thing that I was thinking about a lot, what's in our warfare, what the enemy uses, what our flesh uses, is distractions. And what is distraction? Distraction is shifting our attention from something of greater importance to something of lesser importance. And we all can know it. Like we maybe want to pray and then like, oh wait, I still have to do the dishes, or I have to do that, or a message comes in, oh, I want to read first this message quick, and then, oh, I have to reply. And the thing that's of much greater importance, we change to something of much lesser importance. Distraction comes in. But distractions, even more, it can reveal to us what we really love. It can reveal to us, oh, I love this person at the moment. This is more important to me. And the treasure, what is it? Where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. So there's like a treasure for me. This is more important to me than talking to my father right now. This is more important to me than reading God's word. So it reveals where our heart is and what's important to us. What is important to me? And it comes again like, oh, that's important to me. And I want to look quick. Okay, what is important to Christ? What does Jesus say is important to him? So if you want to open your Bible to the Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and we start in verse 38. And I want to read from the Amplified Version. I think it brings out the meaning pretty good. So, now, while they were on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who was seated herself at Lord's feet and was continually listening to his teaching. But Martha was very busy and distracted with all of her serving responsibility. And she approached him and said, Lord, is it of no concern to you that my sister has left me to do the serving alone? Tell her to help me and do her part. But the Lord replied to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered and anxious about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, that which is to her advantage, which will not be taken away from her. So we see here, what is Mary doing? She's sitting at the Lord's feet and is continually listening to him. And what does Jesus say? She has chosen the one thing that is necessary. That's the one thing that is really necessary for us as believers, is sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to him. And Mary, what does Mary have? Martha, I mean, when she's serving him, she still has all this. Where is it now? She has worries, she has anxieties. She's serving him. She thinks like, I'm serving the Lord. But her approach, like, just imagine Jesus comes in the house. He's sitting there, he's teaching, and she's distracted. She's like, oh, I have to serve all these people. I have to make my house look good. We have guests here, and especially in this culture, like the guests are the king. We have to give them the best food and everything. And that's not bad. It's not this is a bad thing, but there is something of much greater importance there. There's Jesus there, and I want to sit at his feet and listen to him. Jesus said that's the one thing that's necessary. Like, we can do a lot of great things, but the one thing that's necessary to sit at his feet and listen to him, to be taught by him, to learn from him, as he said, learn from me, for I'm humble and meek, Lord. So learn from him. And if you want to open quick to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. And here in the portion before, it speaks about, like, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. And then in verse 13, Jesus said, enter you in the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few be there that find it. Like, in our life, we have so many options. So many things that we can do. And in a way, we have so many responsibility. Like, as parents, we have to take care of our children. We have to work. We have to bring money. We have or can't spend time with our wife. And we have brothers and sisters in the church. So many things. But he says, narrow is the way that leadeth to life. There's not so many options. If we really follow Christ, he says, look, there is options. Spend time with me. Spend time with me. There's a broad way out there what people want to do. Go after their career, go after money, but spend time with me. That's the way that leads to life. And it's maybe something that we hear all the time, many times, but then we have to question, how much do we really do it? Do we have just a 10-minute devotional in the morning? Do we go to bed and say, thank you, Lord, for this day, bless you, and good night? Is that spending time with the Lord? Is that the way that leads to life? Like, God is so good. And we not want to spend time like, oh, I spent time with the Lord. Like, look how good I am. Look what I'm doing. But you know what happens when we spend time with him, when we pray? We get to know him. And we see, like, wow, God, that's how much you love me. That's who you are. That's what you say is the truth. Sorry, I always thought that was the right. Oh, thank you for correcting me. Thank you that you show me a purpose in this life. And life comes in, and there the life comes when we spend time with him. But there is no other way. There is no other way. We need the word. We need prayer. And I'm just like, it's in my heart stirring. There is so many other things. You can go different ways. You can reach the Lord by just being in the body, and it's an important part. Or you can have the Lord if you're just around people. Or you can have the Lord by many things, but there is no other way. It's a narrow way. We have to know the word, like Dennis brought out. Like, we need walls of doctrine. We need to spend days in prayer. And when we see great men of God or women of God, they all had that in common. They loved the word and they loved prayer. I think Luther who said, like, I'm so busy at the moment, I have to spend at least 3 hours in prayer. You know? And when we hear them, they quote the word. But what is it now? If I say you spend an hour in prayer, many of us would be like, an hour? Like, we maybe lay down and after like 15 minutes, I don't really know what to say anymore, whatever. And I just think, there, God has more for us. God has more for us. But how can we get there? How can we get there? How can we break of that? So you can open the Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fable, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. What it says here, one thing, he compares, he exercises himself in godliness. Exercise. And the word, I mean, exercise is really like from a gym. It's from people working out in a gym. And then godliness, it's like two words together. One means well, I think oi, or I don't know, and sebumai, which means devout, or it also can be worshipped. Like totally committed to a cause or a belief, devout. Well, I'm totally committed to it. And there is a commitment there that we have to make. We have to exercise. When somebody works out in a gym or whatever, I want to exercise for a race. I exercise. And in the beginning, it's maybe hard. Like just if you imagine like on a bike, when you start to pedal, the first few pedals are kind of hard. You have to get in a rolling. But after a while, it becomes easier. It becomes easier. But then the time comes where it goes uphill and you have the pedal is really harder again. And there's a season where it goes downhill and it's like, wow, it feels like I don't really have to do anything. It's just going this different season. But we have to pedal all the time. And we have to get, and it's in the heart beginning to get in. And I speak of experience. Like when I say, okay, I want to pray for an hour. There's times where I'm just there and like thoughts, a different thought there. And like, oh, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, and it's hard. But we press through these things. We just say, no, Lord, you are faithful. You ask me to do that. You are faithful to speak to me. You are faithful to use that. And we just press through it. And God is faithful to do it. God is faithful to do it. And another passage who speaks of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we start with verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so I fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So what he says, I mean, for the purpose first, he speaks before like to the that he became all thing to all men. And he does that for the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. Our motivation is, like Pastor Larry brought out, the gospel is the power of salvation. The gospel is the power of salvation, not like, again, just salvation of eternal life, but everything. It can break everything that hinders us. The gospel can break it. And for the gospel's sake, to bring it to other people, I have to live a holy life. I have to live a life devoted to God, that I'm able to really empower, can bring the gospel to other people, that the gospel can work powerfully in me. I need that devoted life. And then he says, run. Everybody run, so run that you may win the prize. Like, that's a big statement. Like, when you go run, we maybe can sometimes say, yeah, I go for a 5K, like we have a 5K for us at work, and I'm just going to run. I'm going to have fun and enjoy it. But here he says, you run as you win the prize. Like, you train hard. You give it all you have, and you run that you win. And it's not like a comparing. I'm not running and like, oh, wow, look, he's better than me. Like, oh, and he's behind me. I'm not comparing with other runners, but I'm looking to myself and say, man, I have to give it all that I have. I have to give it all that I have. And every man that strives for the masters is temperate in all things, so self-control or self-discipline. And that means some areas, so maybe some things we have to give up. Maybe God says, 2 hours TV you watch every day, maybe that's not possible anymore, you know? you have 2 hours you can spend in my word. The 2 hour, is it worth it? Maybe that's something we have to give up. Or whatever other things you say, there's going to be a price that we have to pay. But if we understand the character of God, it's not like, oh, I have to give. Maybe in the beginning it can be kind of, oh, I have to give that up. But as more as we get to know God, it's like, wow, what does Paul say? I count it all as rubbish. Like, thank you, God, that you brought me away from that. Now I know you. Now my life is so much greater. So there is some things we have to give up. And therefore, so run, in verse 26, not as uncertainly, so fight, not as one as beateth the air. Like beating the air. Like we can use a lot of words. We can say a lot of things. But is it really what God wants us to do? If we're walking in like, yeah, I'm this great Christian, but we're not really filled with the Spirit, we're not really walking in the call of God, it's like we're using all our energy and all that we have to beat the air. Nothing is happening. I'm just beating the air. And so to realize, like, to really, okay, we need to know, God, what you want me to do. I don't want to just beat the air, you know? And the greatest example, of course, like in everything in our life, is Jesus Christ. So turn to Hebrews 12. Like, we're not running and like, oh, I don't know where the finish line is. I don't have a goal. I'm looking onto something. And here in Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, in looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm looking to Christ. When I run, that's almost my focus, Christ, Christ. And what did Christ do? Christ is the one, he ran the race. He ran the race to win it. And we have to realize when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was like, Father, Father, if there's any other way, please take this cup away from me. It wasn't, we think maybe he was God and that was easy for him. But that, to have the wrath of God on him, to be separated from him, Father, to be beaten beyond recognition, this wasn't an easy thing for him to bear. But he said, I run this race to win for the hope set before me, because I see all of you. I see all of you. I see a Mark. I see a Brittany. I see you. And I have to finish this race for your sake, that you can be with me, that your sins can be forgiven, that you can be cleansed. I die on that cross and take it all on me, that you can be forgiven. And I have a joy, because I know the outcome of it. The outcome is when you believe, we're going to be one family and rejoicing in eternity in heaven. And we look ahead, we say, yeah, that's a suffering. It feels sometimes maybe like, I don't want to read the word now. Or like, oh, Bible college or prayer. Man, I'm just tired. But no, Spirit, help me. God, help me. I know I want to seek you. I want to know you more. And there's great, great benefits. Like when Jesus said there, if you pray secretly in your closet, I will reward you openly. I will reward you. If we spend this time on God's feet, he will reward us. And not like, oh, we put on a pedestal, but reward us with knowing him more. Reward us with a life that brings glory to him. And this is the greatest reward that we can ever have. And there is the cross. There is the cross, but there's only one cross of Christ. And we just, as I spoke on Sunday, we participate in it. And then we participate in the life. And there is struggle. Like, I don't know, you have like an argument with something like, I'm right. This person is wrong. And it's like, can I really get over myself and just apologize or just tell them it's okay? Let's forget it. I love you. And we know if that's not right about doctrine, but about other little things. And it's like, man, I don't want to. But like, yes, God. That's your way. And I'm going to go your way, because my way, we know where it leads. We know where it's leading. The cross, sometimes it's hard, but there is life after it. We have still some time, so let's turn to Hebrews 5, verse 12. Hebrews 5, verse 12. For when, for the time you are to be teachers, you have need that one teacheth you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Like he's speaking then to the Hebrews, and I think it's been a time since this church was established. And he said, all these years, you say you're a Christian for 10 years and you still like need this milk? Like, and there's no condemnation in Christ, but just an encouraging, like, there's more. We can go forward. And it's not me saying it. The word says we have to exercise. We have to devote ourselves, you know? And it's not like, oh, in my flesh and the fleshly thing. But still, I don't even want to go like, what? We have to exercise. We have to devote ourselves. And how did they do it? Like, even those who by reason of use, by reason of the strong meat, by reason of the word, they used the word. They studied the word. And we have many options. There's Bible college classes online we can take. There's classes here we can take. There is our personal time in the word and just study it. And there's a beginning. Like, it's brick upon brick. We're not like, I don't know nothing. Like, I think I still don't know nothing, but I know more than 5 years ago. I learned slowly, and I spent time, and I keep learning and learning and learning, brick upon brick. But if I use it, it says, by the use of it, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By the word, we learn, like when we walk in our life, what is the right thing to do here, and what's the wrong thing? What is God saying, and what is my flesh or the enemy saying? We learn, we discern these things, and we have to grow in it. Like Paul gives here a warning, if Hebrew is written by Paul or whoever, but he gives a warning like, you should be further now. Come on, let's get on the boat here. And just in closing, like I think one psalm that kind of wraps a bit up what I was talking about, Psalm 37. Let's start in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And just especially verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. And in the Hebrew language, it's kind of, the commit is like a roll off. I'm rolling it onto the Lord, and my way can be my course of life. My life, what I want to do with my life, what I think is important, what I desire, I roll it. My course of life, my life, I roll it onto the Lord. And Lord, my life is rolled onto you. It's your life now. You tell me what is important. You tell me, you give me the desires, you tell me what you desire and give me these desires as well. It's your life now. And then what happens? Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. That's grace, it's the Spirit. We know by ourselves we can do nothing, but we still have a will. We still have a will, and with my will I say, Lord, it's your life now. It's your life now, and what you say is good, I decide to do it, and you will bring it to pass. You will do it. You will transform me into the image of Christ. You will empower me. You will do all these things. You will bring it to pass, like in the Hebrews even, and God works. He works. We commit our life to him, and he works. But to commit, it's almost like a command. We commit our life to him, and he works. And that's the great things. And sometimes, like the understanding, we're just obedient. Maybe like, I don't really understand it completely. I just obey. And the more as I obey, the more understanding comes. And just one thing that Pastor Larry brought out, it's not our ability. It's God's ability. It's not what we can do. But you will sense, if you commit your life to the Lord, you spend time in His Word, you really seek Him in prayer, and you have this communion with Him, you grow in Him, you see like, wow, God's ability is greater. Like, God can send me to Albania and build a church there. God can make me hear, preach to other people. God can send me to Saratoga and give the gospel to somebody, and this person is saved. Wow, God's ability. Wow, God's life. So just again, encouragement. Let's commit our life to Him. Let's say like, okay, Lord, I want to spend more time in Your Word. I want to seek You more in prayer. Because You said that's the one thing that's necessary. To be at Your feet and to be taught by You. Taught by You, to learn from You. Amen. So, Father, we just thank You. We thank You, Lord, and I just pray these words for myself and for everybody here, Lord, that by Your Spirit, You ministered it. That by Your Spirit, You enable us to live in these words, to practice it, Lord, so that we can get to know You more. And I know as more as we know You, as more we will seek You, as more as we want to know You more. And we just thank You for Your great grace, for Your great love for us, and for the great privilege that You gave us to seek You. In Jesus' name, amen.